that. And then the other thing we can take a look at here is that he depends, because he's lame, what does he have to do? He has to beg, but he has to depend on whom? Others. He has to depend on somebody else, right? He can't get there on his own. And it says he goes there, he's been set there how often? Daily. This guy goes to church every day, right? And he's still what? Lame. So you wouldn't just get that out of this. Yeah, he goes to church every day, but he's still lame. Right? See, and that's my desire, is that people come to church lame and they walk out of here unlame. Right? I mean, that's my hunger. And we can preach all we want. But that's why I say we need to have this connection with God so that we don't leave here lame. Okay? So he has to be carried there daily, right? And how do you know if you're really lame? I just want to drive this point home. How do you know you're lame? Is if you can't do anything for yourself, you have got to have somebody take care of you. And so he was laid at the gate, beautiful every day, because he was lame. And he had a little cup, and he would ask for alms, and he would wait for the tinkle tinkle to go into the cup to know that he received something. Okay? So this is what we got here. We got a lame guy, he's a beggar, he depends on other people, and I love this, he's at church every day. So what does that tell you? Right. People that go to church have money. Okay. They have spare change that they give this guy, right? And so because somebody had to bring him. He didn't have enough money to hire somebody to bring him. He had to have people bring him and say him there. So really what it means is, what I'm seeing here is, you can go to church every day and not ever change. Just because we go to church, you know, well, I got it all figured out. Nope, you don't have it all figured out, right? So is there more than one kind of lameness? Okay, so this guy had what kind of, he had a physical lameness, right? And then there's social lameness. And we see a lot of that today. Well, what is social lameness? Social lameness means that I have to have the government take care of me. Right? That's what that means. It means I can't take care of myself, you know, financially or physically in these situations. So I need the government to take care of me. And then there's the spiritual. There's a spiritual lameness. Do you know that? There really is. And that's, I believe, rampant in the world today, rampant in the church today. You know, where we see, just all too often, where we see women leading the family in the spiritual affairs. The women are leading the kids in doing their Bible reading, doing their devotions, keeping they're trying to keep their spiritual interest up in the things of God. Because so many of us, and Bill alluded to this morning, we're too busy. You know, us guys, we're too busy for this and we're too busy for that. You know, and then there's the other side of it too, where she won't let him lead. There's two sides. There's the side where he won't lead, and there's the side where she won't let him lead. You know, so, but here's the thing, guys, if we won't lead, she will. She will. Which kind of brings me to a point. I'm gonna take a break right here and break. You know, when we were young, before we had kids, and we were having marriage issues. We were having marriage problems. Well, Sue was, and it's never my fault. You know, right? That's another lameness, right? And we were lame. We were both lame, you know, but anyway, she was working day shift, I was working night shift, and you know, because we've been kind of talking a lot about, you know, what's happened over the last 50 years, and one of the things that sticks out in my mind was, I came home from work, working swing shift, and she was sitting on the couch reading this red paperback Bible, and you know what my thought was? You know, I was like, well, praise God. You know, no, my thought was, oh, great. Now she's getting religion. You know, and unbeknownst to me in real life, realization was that I'd been in religion my whole life. I was just as religious. You couldn't get more religious than me. You know, so, well, you probably could, but it was bad. But that was the beginning. Here we are, babe.
Yeah.
It was the beginning, so. So there's all kinds of shapes of this, right? You know, but the description is still the same. I need somebody to do what I'm supposed to be doing or be doing what my part is. So the point of this story up to this point is what? Is that this guy couldn't take care of himself. You know, maybe you look at your life and you go, well, there's places in my life where I can't take care of myself. But, you know, I just want to say, when we get that connection with Jesus, when we get that true connection, that dependency can go away. It can go away right now. I don't care what it is. It can go away. We'll get to the next point here. Even when we come to church and we have worship, beautiful worship this morning, ladies, that was awesome. A word from the Lord. We can get a word from the Lord, and we can know what He wants for us, and we can say yes, and we can say amen, and then we can still walk out of here, what? Lame. We can still walk out of here the same. You know, and sometimes we can cover up our lameness. We can have a nice house. We can have nice clothes. We can have a nice car. You know, and we can still be lame. We just have nicer things than the beggar, right? So there's and a lot of us when we have areas in our life that are lame, what do? We cover it up. We cover it up with the finer things. You know, we've got this. We've got that. So now let's go to verse 3 here. So let's kind of move on here a little bit. In verse 3, who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking for alms, okay? So they're going in, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. In that day, that was the typical time to go into prayer. And they were going in. Peter and John had just seen what? They had just seen Jesus what? Crucified, raised from the dead, ascend into heaven, right? Got the last instructions from Jesus. Do you think they were connected to Jesus? I think they were connected, right? Okay, so they're going in to pray. So during this time when there was this conversion going on from Judaism into Christianity, the Jews still went to church. They still went to the temple. They still went there at the given hour to pray. So they're going in to pray. So they're going in to connect with God. And they pass by this what? This lame man, right? And so here's this lame man is sitting there, right? And he's got his little cup and he's reaching, you know, he says, alms, sir. And what does Peter say? He says, what's he say? What's it say that it says? It says, what? Look at us, right? What does that mean? It means he wasn't looking at him. He's sitting there on the ground with his cup going, alms, 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 you know, alms for the poor. Yeah, I mean, it was just something he was doing and wrote, you know. It's just like coming to church, you know. It's like, okay, let's go listen to music. Let's listen to Talking Head. Say amen. Get out of here. There's so many times I've looked at you guys and said, would you pay attention? You know? Or we'll have a teaching or a sermon on something, and before you get out of here, you'll say completely contrary to what we just read, what the Word of God said. And it's like, you know, pay attention is what he's saying, right? So here's Peter. He's walking in. Here's this guy. He's been sitting there for over 40 years, or he's been lame for 40 years. Who knows how long he's been sitting there at the gate. And Peter looks down on him and he says, look at us. Look at us. When we read the Bible, we need to what? We need to look at it for what it says. And so what's the guy do? He looks up and he's what? He's expecting to receive something, right? And he might have even been thinking, hey, you know what? this guy might be wanting to give me some folding money, not just spare change. I mean, he seems to be serious about this, making me look up. Right? And then, so then he goes on here and Peter says this. He says, look at us. I don't have any money. So what do you think the guy said then? What do you think he was thinking? What? What good's this? You don't have any money? You want me to pay attention? Why would I pay attention to you? He says, silver and gold I don't have, right? But what I do have, key phrase here, what I do have, say that, what I do have. Why does he have what he says he's going to have? Because he's what? He's connected to Jesus. I have Jesus. I am connected to him. See, that's the difference. Maybe you have. I have. In the name of Jesus. And nothing happened. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Have you ever done that? In the name of Jesus. Nothing happened. Is that frustrating? Is it frustrating enough to make you change? Is it frustrating enough to make you say, you know what, I don't have enough of Jesus because it is just, this isn't it. Because nothing's happening. Yet when I read the word, it's like it's happening. It's happening over and over. It's happening in churches across the country. Revival's taking place. Awakening's taking place. These things are happening, and I go, is that happening in my life? And if it's not happening in my life, why isn't it? And so what I have to do is just keep calling out to God, Keep calling out to God. What I have, and when I was reading this, that just stuck out to me. But what I have, I'm going to give to you. What I have. See, we all know Jesus. We're all fans of Jesus, but we're not just necessarily all followers of Jesus. We're not necessarily all connected to Jesus. We know we're supposed to pray in his name. We know we're supposed to forgive one another. We know we're supposed to do all these niceties. But having that connection with the Father, having that connection with Jesus, to where I'm aware of his presence whenever I'm doing whatever it is that I'm doing, that's a difference. So when we're aware of that presence, when we're aware of that connection, then we know when we say in the name of Jesus, we got something's going to happen. Does that make sense? Okay. So he says, do what? Look at us. But I'm not going to give you any money. Silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, he says, I'm going to give to you. So what's he doing now? What's this lame man doing? He's paying attention, right? He's paying attention. He's asking for money. You know, really what he's asking for is just enough money to make it through today so they can come back tomorrow and do it again. I don't know about you, but I don't like to live that way. I don't want to just live day to day, hand to mouth, day to day, hand to mouth. I don't want to live that way, and I don't think Jesus expects us to live that way. Okay, now he might put you in a ministry where you got to believe for things all the time, which that's okay because if you're connected to him in such a manner, I can't remember the name of the guy back in the turn of this century. Mary can probably help me out here. He had these orphanages, and he had no money. Yeah, Mueller. Thank you. Whoever said that? Thank you, George Mueller. And he brought in millions of dollars. Didn't work, didn't go out and preach, did nothing. He just got on his hands and knees and prayed to God, and people would just bring in money. That's just, so I was thinking, maybe I should try that. Anyway, but the point I'm trying to make is when we have that connection with God, whatever the need is, he's going to meet it because we're doing what he's asked us to do. I can't think really of a better way of doing it. So now he's paying attention. He's expecting something from these people. And he says, I have no money, but I want you to pay attention. So, so I want to go like 14 different directions today. So if you see me stuttering, that's why. So he says, what I'm going to, so I don't have any money, but what I'm going to give you, right? What's that word give mean? The word give, what does that mean? It means, it's really, if we take a look in the Bible and look at it biblically, it's a grace word. You know, if I'm going to give you something, it's something you can't earn. I'm going to give it to you because I want to give it to you. By grace, you are what? You can't earn salvation. All you can do is receive it. So he says, what I do have, I'm going to what? I'm going to give you this that I have. And so then he goes, in the name of Jesus, right? So what does he have? He has the name, right? Of whom? Jesus, right? And then he says, walk. So let's take a look at this. So in the name, okay? In the names, so we need to look at that. What is the word? What is the name? Well, why is that important? He says, in the name, right? The name, we go, right? Okay, authority. But what in the Bible, this is the name important? If you know, the book of Numbers, so boring. This person begot this person, begot this person, begot this person, begot this person. You can say that like 35, 40, 100 times today, and then you've read the book of Numbers. Okay, you've just quoted the book of Numbers. But when you start looking at all those names, who's connected to who, and what's connected to what, and what those names mean, okay? So in biblical times, the name meant something. Do you know why I was named Randy? Because, you know, my wife was named Sue. For why? Running out of girls' names. Yeah, well, she was only number two, so she was good. You know, when it got to seven or eight, whatever it was, that's when they started running out of names. You know, so you know, Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah, right? Saul became Peter, right? So name, the names. Yeah, that's what I meant. That became Paul, right? Somebody's paying attention. That's cool. So these names, these names mean something. And so he says, I'm gonna. So in the name of Jesus, right? So they all knew who Jesus was at this point because he'd been causing a lot of trouble. Just got crucified a few days later or earlier, and all of a sudden disappeared. Do what? Rise up and what? And what happened? He walked. He didn't call the doctors. He didn't call for counselors. He didn't call for the EMTs. He just said, rise up and what? Why? Because of what he had, which was he was connected to Jesus. Rise up and walk. And so what happened? What's it say it happened there? Okay, we just read it. What did it say? Were you paying attention? It said his ankles and were made strong, made straight, right? And then he did what? He leaped up. Wait a minute. This guy hasn't walked for 40-some years. Okay, have you ever known anybody that hasn't been able to use their leg because it was broke or whatever for like 6 weeks? Do they just get up and walk on that leg? Why? Because it's weak, because the muscles have atrophied. This guy hasn't walked since he was born. He's 40 plus years old. What do you think his legs look like? Bad. I mean, they were probably like this big around. Little bones with skin over the top of them. And all of a sudden, right, there's this word in here. I love this word. I've been searching this word out of the Bible. And it says immediately. Immediately. See, we think because we're so used to this that, well, I've got to go to PT, you know, physical therapy. I got to go see the 14 doctors. I got to go do this. I got to take all these pills. I got to do this. I got to do that. I tell you what, when you find somebody that's connected to Jesus, I keep seeing this word. Remember we read about the lame, we talked about the lame man last week, right? You know, and Jesus said what? He said, stand up, take up, and do what? Move on, right? You know, stand up, pick up your bed, and move on. So how long did it take him for him to get healed? It was immediately. And we keep waiting, and we keep waiting, and we keep waiting, and we keep waiting. And then we go, well, it's not happening immediately, right? So we keep what? Waiting. And we keep what? Waiting. And then a lot of people go to their grave doing what? Waiting. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus doesn't want us waiting. But we have to make this connection. We have to make this connection. Listen, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I do have. Key word, what I do what? Have. I have this. I have this. I have this. What I have, I'm going to give to you. And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of who, where? Why would he say that? I mean, see, when we read the Bible, it's like we just read the story and go, oh, cool, you know, da-da-da-da, it comes Peter and John, da-da-da-da, walking in, the guy's, you know, rattling his little cup, you know, alms for the poor, and Peter comes along and he says, you know, rise up and walk, and he gets healed, he rises up and walks. And they go into church praising God. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's really kind of how we read this story. But when we take a look at all these little words, what, you know, the importance of the name and the importance of Jesus, right? The name of Jesus is higher than any other name that is named, right? You know, we know that. And then he throws in this word Nazareth. It's like, oh, what does that mean? Well, Nazareth, you know what kind of town Nazareth was? See, Jesus was born there, right? So it had to be a really cool town, right? High rises, everybody had a swimming pool, you know, and everybody had the latest and greatest donkey and, you know, all that stuff was going on, right? Nazareth was the town that you did not want to go to, and it was the town you did not want to go through. That's the kind of town it was. Today we'd call it the hood. That's where he was raised. Why was he raised there? I don't know, but that's where he was raised. That's where, I guess, where God put him. So that's where he was raised. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised in Nazareth. In fact, isn't John, I think, chapter 1, verse 4, something like that? It says that nothing good can come out of Nazareth. It's a bad place. It's that hood, you know, nothing comes out of there. So why is that important? Because here comes this man. Here comes on Peter and John. They come along and they speak to this man. Pay attention to me. And then rise up and walk in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, here's this man. It was from the other side of the tracks. That's been there. That's probably suffered through the things. To some of the things that you're suffering through. Has gone without. Had lack. So on and so forth. But he still was raised from the dead, and it sits at the right hand of the Father. So the power that is associated with the name of Jesus, from the man from the other side of the tracks, he can meet you wherever you're at. Whatever level of life you're in, whether you're the upper crust or the lower crust or whatever, Jesus has been there. He's come out of it. He can handle it. So it all means something. It's not just words. They're not just words in the Bible for us to just read over quickly, right? So you know, and again, it didn't say anything about his dad. You know, we don't know anything about Joseph. I mean, Joseph married Mary, and that's it. where did he go? You know, I can't wait till we get to heaven so we can watch the videos. You know, Joseph, where'd you go? So that's the beauty of Jesus. I don't care what your position in life is, he can meet you there. He can turn it around. It comes back to the connection. You say, well, I don't have that connection. Right? I like being really transparent with you. You know, I personally am having an issue, physical issue that I've been dealing with for a while, and maybe like 5 years. And it's just really irritating. I'm just crying out all the time. It's like, Lord, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to preach this. I'm going to preach it because it's true. It's in the Word. And, you know, I'm working on it too. You know, this morning, before the service, or, you know, when I was at home praying before the service this morning, you know, it's like, Lord, I need that connection. I need that connection. I need that connection. You know, and I don't need to get it before you do. I mean, I've got a connection with Jesus. I'm close to Jesus, but I guess I need a better connection. You know, and then I'm praying about this, and he reminds me of Smith Wigglesworth. It's like, oh, Lord, don't do that. You know, Smith Wigglesworth had kidney stones for several years. And all these miracles are being performed in his ministry, and people being raised from the dead, you know, and he's still dealing with this sickness. I think it was kidney stones, I think, or gallstones or something, you know. And I mean, he was bleeding from them, and he was, you know, and it's like, no, Lord, don't remind me about the good part about Smith Wigglesworth getting, you know, getting healed. So, hey, whatever it is, you know what, bottom line, this, you know what my number one thing is I praise Jesus for? Salvation. That's the number one thing. I thank you, God, you saved me. You know, I always thank him for being my healer, my protector, and my provider. You know, but at the same time, I'm still dealing with some things. You know, but it's like, I'm making that, I am going to arrive at that connection. I'm going to arrive there, you know. And so the next thing we see here is that when Peter said, look at us, and then as he said, he some versions say, took a hold. I like the New American Standard that says, seizing him. He reached down and what? And took him by the hand, seized him by the hand, right? So I don't think he was giving this guy an out. He was just saying, you know what? You're going to stink and walk. That's what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, you're going to walk. So he reached down, he grabbed his hand, and he did what? He pulled him up. You know, and so if you believe what you're about to pray for with somebody, you know, you don't always want to just say, well, you know, in the name of Jesus. You know, and that's why I always like to do this. You know, when I pray for you, like if we're praying for backs or legs or whatever, start doing something. Start doing something. Let's see. That we're like seizing them. It's like, I'm going to make you, well, I can't make you, but I'm going to ask you to do something that you couldn't do. Why? Well, because I believe that when we're doing this, there's anointing in this place to do that. You know, Monica a few weeks ago, you know, gave testimony. We prayed for her back, and boom. How long did it take? It was immediate, wasn't it? I think, yeah, immediate. I like that word, immediate. You know. So don't tell me it can't happen immediately, because I see it over and over in the Bible. Another key word to look for is suddenly. In the Old Testament, you see that word suddenly all the time. Suddenly, 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 you know. I like that. So listen, you know, when we're praying, look for the immediate, look for the suddenly. But so Peter taking a hold of him, seizing the moment, picked him up, right? In the name of Jesus, do what? Rise up and, let's say it, walk. You know, I don't think he said it this way. I wasn't there. I don't think he said, rise up and walk, man. I don't think he said it like that. I think he was speaking with authority, because he says, this is what I have. Rise up in the name of Jesus and walk. I mean, he said it in an authoritative, you know, commanding way. You know, I'm going to say, what do you think this lameness came from? Yeah, that's from the, it was from the enemy. All sickness and disease is from the enemy. COVID's from the enemy. I tell you this, I'm going to tell you again. Every day I pray that if that COVID virus would try to come, tries to come in that front door, it dies. When you touch that front door, if you got it, it's dying. You know, and it's... Look up with me, would you? I mean, we're doing good, right? So he didn't just pray for him. He did what? He seized him. He grabbed a hold of him. You know, and there's a, we could look at this a different way. Are there any people that you know out there that need to be seized? Right? You know, maybe you need to be seized. You know, but at the same time, you have to allow yourself to be seized. Now, we got a generation of young people out there that need to be seized. You know, I was reading an article by Mario Murillo the other day, and he was talking about the young people and you know, about the agenda that's going on out there, the political agenda that's going on, you know, where they're, you know, trying to push the kids farther and farther away from God. And he made this statement. He said that what's really happening is they're creating a void. You know, why do we seek out God? Because we have a void. There's something missing. You know, I remember, you know, before we got saved and before Sue got the red Bible, I still see her sitting on that green and white couch with the feet up on the cotton table, reading that book. I mean, there she is. Awesome girl. 50 years, babe. For 50 years, I've been waking up going, oh, she's still here. Why, God, is she still here? You know? And she says, I don't know. Yeah, so you probably have acquaintances out there in your circle of influence where somebody needs to be seized. But here's the thing is that you can only give them what you have. See, if you've only got Christian music in your head, that's all you can give them. It's Christian music. If you've only got somebody's sermon in your head, then all you can give them is somebody's sermon. But if you have a connection with the Most Holy Father, you can give them whatever it is that they need. You know, and a lot of faith is expecting that which is impossible to happen. It's impossible for somebody that's been lame for 40 years to stand up and walk. It's impossible. It just doesn't happen. If you ask anybody that's in medicine, they're going to go, that can't happen. But it happened. The lame man waiting for the waters to be stirred, it was impossible for him to be healed. It was impossible for him to get to the water first. It was impossible for them to just get up and walk. But when Jesus entered into the picture, he got up and walked. He got up, picked up, and moved on. So he realize that when we're going to minister or witness, we're only going to be able to minister or witness to that which we have. You can memorize, and we were talking about that book a couple of weeks ago, sharing how to share Jesus, or sharing Jesus more effectively. Well, sharing Jesus without fear. You know, it's really, yeah. Have you read it, Randy? Yes, I've read it. You can get all those things memorized and how to respond and so on and so forth, you know, but the bottom line is those things are great and those are good and they're valuable, but at the same time, it's the connection with Jesus we have in our heart that's really going to bring life to them. You know, silver and gold I don't have, or I don't know all the right things to say, but this is what I do have. I've got Jesus. Rise up and get saved. What is it that you've got that I don't? You know, what are you going to say? What would you say? So, you know, you're working with somebody and all of a sudden they say, you know, I just need God and I don't know what to do. What are you going to do? Say, well, want to come to church? Why do you say that? Because that's what I have. I have a church. You want to come to church? But if you're connected to God, you can say, let me introduce you to our Father in heaven. What have you got? What have you got that I don't have, right? So we take a look at this and we can really say, hey, you know, the only thing about this thing is that it really only works when we're connected. When we have it, we can give it. When we don't have it, we can't have it. Right? So 40 years, immediately what? Immediately what? Healed. So then if you go on and you read the rest of this story, chapter 3 and chapter 4 of the book of Acts, you know what those two chapters are about? It's not about the man that was raised. It really is not about that. We're using that story. But you know what those two chapters are about? It's about the name of Jesus. Because when they're standing before the Sanhedrin and all those, you know, those religious guys, you know, they ask him this question. You know, by whose name and by what power did you do this? I'm paraphrasing it. So the name is connected to the power. The name of Jesus is connected to the power. And they wanted to know, because they knew, they were smart enough men to know that that couldn't just happen, that there had to be some power associated to that name. And so they ask him, so by what power and by what name and or what power did you do this? And then they said it was by the name of Jesus. And it was because of the name of Jesus and the power in that name that this man was able to rise up and walk. So here we go. Verse 16, chapter 3. At the very end of it. It says, yes. Okay, well, let's read the whole thing. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him what?
Perfect.
What kind?
Perfect.
Perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Perfect. Say perfect.
Perfect.
What is that? Perfect soundness. What does that mean in this case? What does that mean? It means there's nothing wrong. It means his muscle grew out, you know, and his calf muscles, I bet they were gorgeous. Man, I bet he looked like Mr. Olympia or something, you know. Boom, he got these things, his perfect legs, you know, ready to go, ready to run, you know, the marathon. And then we see, again, this question in verse 4, verse 7 in chapter 4. They asked that question, but by what power or by what name have you done this? Highlight these things. Now, so what came out of this? Now, see, this is something I want you to ponder. So these guys, they come walking in there. There's guy at the gate beautiful. There's somebody there. I'm sure he probably wasn't even the only one there, you know. But they're going in. I'm sure, you know. And some of you have pointed out in the past. I bet Jesus even walked through those gates. Here comes Peter and John, and this happens, and the man gets up, he walks, they go into church, he's praising, you know, and everybody's in awe and wondering what's going on, and then, you know, and then the religious guys they're trying to. You know, they want to stop this. They try to stop Jesus. Now, Jesus is gone, but now these guys are bringing up the name of Jesus, and people are getting healed, and they're just confused. They don't know what to do. What came out of this? What came out of this? See, if we start, yeah, you know, we said, well, he got healed, and they went into prayer, praising God. So then what? Chapter 4. Verse 4. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Here's the thing that I believe with my whole heart. Get connected. Get connected. Know what you have. He will use you. He will manifest his power through you. And the people will get saved. There's a purpose to why what happened to that lame man. It wasn't just for that lame man to walk. God sees the beginning to the end. He says, you know what? He says, I got all these people over here that need to get saved. They need to see something. So we're going to show them. So my power, because his power then rides on, you know, Peter's authority, you know, I'm not sure how to say this. Anyway, you know, he piggybacked the power of Jesus to get this man raised. We have that connection. We have this. I am connected. I am so connected to Jesus. And that's my goal. I'm not there yet. Lord knows I'm not there. No, you're not. But I'm working on it. I'm getting it. You know, this whole COVID thing. You know what the beauty of this whole COVID thing has been? Personally, I don't miss sports. I like sports. I do. I like sports. But you know what? I don't miss it. And because of that, I've had so much more time to seek him. I don't have to sit there and watch a couple hours of TV and you know, sports this and sports that. I can go spend that time with him. I can go seek him in all that time. That you know, it's like, well, that's really pretty boring. Well, not, it's really not. I mean, you don't have, it's not like going into your room and praying for, you know, 8 hours a day, praying in tongues. That's not what I'm saying. But checking in with God all the time during the day, you know, and spending time in his word and doing like what we, let's dig this, tear this scripture apart and see what these different words mean and what worked with what and what happened before that and what happened after that. And I mean, this guy, you know, like I say, we read this dissertation and we go, oh, isn't that cool? You know, the guy got saved. No, or got healed. No, 5,000 people got saved. That's what was cool. And it's just cool this man got saved too. I'm sure he did. Yeah, he got saved, but he got healed and these people got saved. Was that a big deal? That was a big deal. No. Church can't be just about you and me. It's got to be about those other people. And it's like, well, you know, I never have an opportunity to witness. It's because, yeah, I'm going to say it, okay? Love me? You ain't connected enough. Because you don't know what you're going to say. Well, Jesus loves you. Prove it. Prove it. Tell me what you know. Tell me what. Give me what you got. You know, one day, a long time ago, I was working on this job. I'm up on a ladder, and, you know, and I'm talking to this guy, and I don't remember what I was. Up on this ladder doing something anyway, and so I'm talking to this kid there, and we're just talking, you know, and I said something about the Lord, and he goes, yeah, I used to go to church, and I go, why don't you go to church anymore? And he says, well, something happened to me when I was a kid. Oh, really? What happened? Well, I was abused by my father, your stepfather. I'm not sure how it went, but anyway, he was abused by this person, and he said, I can't sleep, because I never sleep. I go to bed, I sleep for an hour, wake up for an hour. He said, I just can't get it out of my mind. I just can't. And I says, well, have you ever prayed about it? And he says, yeah, I pray about it, but nothing changes. I says, well, can I pray with you about it? He says, well, yeah, okay, yeah, sure. You know, I mean, it was like, yeah, so what? It's like, yeah, I went to church today. Yeah, okay. And so I got down off that ladder, seized his hands, and just prayed for him to have sweet sleep. And so the next day I ran into him, and he is leaping and jumping with joy. He says, I got my first full night of sleep that I've had since I was a kid. It can happen. It can happen. I mean, I could have gone, well, gee, that's just too bad, man. I'm sorry you got abused, and I'm sorry you can't sleep. Have you thought about, don't take this wrong. Have you thought about going to see a counselor? Right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, Jesus, immediately. I was talking to Bill about this the other day, a little bit, you know, and I says, and I keep coming across his words immediately. He says, I'm not trying to put you out of business. Well, maybe I am. I says, but I don't think there's much chance of that, you know. but we, you know, we get connected to the source of life, and we got something that the rest of the world needs. Amen?